So I listened to a pod with the founder of this agency here called Crows Ninja, and he actually calls it an anti-agency. I thought it was super fascinating because he doesn't have a team, and it's not because it's not going well, but simply because he doesn't need one. So it definitely sounded like he's absolutely killing it, and I have absolutely no reason to doubt it. And yeah, he has a very interesting model where he's running Facebook ads and he's very selective who he works with. Like he said, only companies that are already doing well with their Facebook ads and regular testing stuff and already generate revenue. And he has like this profit share model. Only focused, like he's not charging a retainer, no setup fee, nothing. It's just, okay, I make you more money and I get a cut from of the profit. And this way he gets like, yeah, he's making more than 10K a month per client. And then if you do the math, he actually doesn't need a lot of clients to make a nice amount of money. At the same time, it really got me thinking because, I quickly realized from my experience running my agency that like these lessons are not really universal by far. So it sounded like almost too good to be true. And I like I said, I have zero reason to doubt Vince, who runs Crows Ninja. I 100% believe that this is true. He has like this performance based marketing figured out, even though like he's humble, right? He says he's not that good at Facebook ads, and it is not a lot of work for him, so he doesn't need a team. He just has a few clients and setting up a campaign, changing a few settings here and there. That's not a lot of work, and still, yeah, he's very successful because he has like this profit share model, which makes it a true no-brainer for the companies he's working with. And now, here's the catch, because obviously you hear that and you get very excited, like I want that, right? I like managing a team is hard. It is very hard work, and also like it is magical, obviously, if you can figure out how to 100% align incentives. That is so easier to sell than a retainer. Right? Selling a retainer requires a lot of trust building. It's a lot of work. It requires in-depth sales calls, and you need the case studies, you need everything. And Wince doesn't need any of that. I mean, look at the site, right? The biggest word is no. And yeah, like you said, like there's no team, 100% performance based, and that's his website, as basic as it gets. There's no case study, no logos. He doesn't need any of that because it's such a no-brainer. Now, what's the catch? The catch is that at my agency, we've tried that, right? Been there, done that. And I learned an interesting lesson, and I think it applies here perfectly, is that like business advice always only applies in a super specific context. And as soon as you change one little variable, like about the business, none of the advice applies anymore. And actually in the podcast, Vince, like a side note, like he was yeah, actually I only work with like the specific type of businesses, like digital products. So basically course sellers, right? And then yeah, I tried SaaS, but it didn't work out. And like, hold on, right? That's interesting because at my agency, which on the surface level operates in a similar space, like we run cold email, and we also generate leads, right? He's doing it with Facebook ads, and I'm doing it with cold email. It should be applicable. Like maybe I can learn a thing or two from Vince, but yeah, that's where the similarities end, I guess, because we really tried, for example, to make performance-based model work for us, and quickly learned a few interesting lessons. So I just wanted to highlight that and explain what I mean when I say, like, you can basically ignore all the business advice out there, except when you find someone who's really running the exact same business you're running. And now, but coming back to Vince, right? He said, like, he tried to do it for SaaS, doesn't work, right? As soon as you change this little variable, the whole thing stops working. And why is that? Well, a performance-based model requires three things. You need perfect attribution, right? You need to know where is like profit coming from, so you can actually bill people, right? You can't just send people, you can't just send leads to people and then expect them to tell you, oh, actually here, this many leads I closed. It doesn't work that way. Trust me. The second thing is you need the sufficient volume, right? For the same reason, if like your client only closes one deal a month, maybe a quarter, right? It would mean you are working, you're doing a lot of work, you are spending a lot of money, and you don't know if you ever get paid, right? It is very slow, like. Maybe they never close a deal and they just told you they're good at closing, but actually they are not. And you spend a lot of money to send them great leads, and they never close one, and then you never get paid. Or maybe they never they find a way to cheat. And then, like, if it's just one or two deals and they are big, right? So imagine, like, it's an expensive SaaS tool, they are making 50K per deal. Like, they have a very big incentive. If it's possible somehow to tell you not about it, whereas if you generate, say, 100 leads a week, maybe something goes wrong with attribution, but like it's virtually impossible to hide that. And even if a few leads fall through the cracks, I mean, who cares, right? Not a big deal. But if it's a different game, like with SaaS tools, with agencies, whatever other market you can service, then like it simply doesn't work, the performance-based model, right? Because you need like this amazing attribution which exists in the Facebook ads ecosystem, and you need like a lot of volume and like speed in like short deal cycles, right? So if Vince is running Facebook ads for companies that sell courses, right? A course is an impulse buy. He puts ads online. He gets data like this. People are buying. It shows up like in the dashboard. Easy. But now imagine you're trying to do the same thing for a SaaS tool or for an agency. You can't really pull this off because these are not impulse buys, right? It takes a sales call, and then maybe like the message gets forwarded internally in the company. And then, like, someone else books the call. So, how are you going to do attribution again? Or, like, it just takes a lot of time. And maybe the client stops working with you at some point because they say, actually, we never close a deal or whatever. And then, actually, it's just a long deal cycle, right? And you put in so much work, but the deal cycle is 6 months. And after 3 months, they stop working with you, and eventually they might close something, and you don't get paid. Vince doesn't have this problem, and this is why his model works. Like it's only like through this very specific combination of factors where his insanely cool model is working, where you have like Facebook ads, perfect attribution, fast deal cycle, like impulse buys, people buy it right away, and a lot of volume, right? Which obviously often goes hand in hand with short deal cycles. And it simply doesn't work with like a different market, like with SaaS or with agencies. And that then immediately has an effect on everything else, right? I mean, if you take his anti-agency model, what he calls it, like profit share, don't hire, it's just me. Well, none of that works as soon as like one of these puzzle pieces starts falling down, like is no longer in place, right? Like one of these dominoes is starting to fall down because without profit share, he's no longer making 10,000 more per client, right? He would need to charge a regular retainer and try selling a 10K retainer, 10K per month retainer. That's a very different game, right? You can't have a website like this and just say, okay, trust me, I will do good work, give me 10K a month. Doesn't work like that. And also people would have very different expectations in terms of what you do. It's then no longer as much about like the outcome, but also like actually what you actually put in, and you're actually not doing a lot of work. Like, why am I paying you so much? I can just hire someone else, right? It's just a very different game. And then if he would do a retainer model, what's a realistic retainer he could close per month? Probably 2K, 3K, maybe something in that ballpark is more realistic. But then he would need a lot more clients to hit the same income level for himself, like the same revenue, to generate the same revenue, but also like clients would expect a lot more from him, right? Like I said, like if it's a retainer and you maybe don't have like perfect attribution. So people really look at what you do and they expect more work from you for the money they are paying, even though it might be less, but like you don't have the perfect attribution. So they only like they see some stuff on their end, but maybe the deals are not closing. So they really also care about what you put in on your end. And so expectations just in terms of what you do, how much you talk about the work you do, how you present it, communication is very different. And then obviously he couldn't pull it off alone. He would need a team. So this is where like you have domino, right? Without like profit share doesn't work. And profit share only works like Facebook ads, perfect attribution, and this specific market, servicing this specific market, course sellers, digital products. And this is just one example of like it is actually true when you are really in the game for a while, entrepreneurship, right? You have like these founders talking about this, and then this founder is talking about this. And if you read enough, like everything is contradictory. And also if you try stuff, like you find people on Twitter, on YouTube, wherever, in blogs, Hacker News, you see them. I found the Holy Grail. You gotta check this out. Like wins here, like anti-agency model, amazing. And like they have no bad intentions. Like I'm not throwing shade. No, by no means. Like I think it's awesome that people are sharing that kind of stuff, and they don't have like any bad intentions at all. It's just like it's like the fish, like in the David Foster Wallace story, right? What the heck is water? So they are immersed in their own like. On context, the very specific context where their business can exist on. And as soon as you change anything about that, like it no longer works. But very often people don't see that because it is invisible to them the same way like the fish don't know what the heck water is. So it is like absolutely awesome. People are sharing and I love like when people do that, but at the same time, it's very important that to understand that usually none of that is applicable to your business because even if you run a Facebook ad agency or another lead gen agency like me, like it is not applicable. And I just want to give one more example on that, and that is because it's also quite famous, DesignJoy, right? The guy, Brett, is very vocal on Twitter, and sometimes people are giving him slack for it. But I mean, he's running DesignJoy. It's a design agency with unlimited design subscriptions. So unlimited really means you can submit unlimited requests, but he's always only working on one of them. And very similar to Vince. He's saying, I don't need a team, it's just me, right? And I mean, awesome. And people give him a lot of slack and doubt it and stuff. I don't, right? I believe that's 100% true. Yeah, he's sharing his numbers. Like Vince, he's doing incredibly well, making a ton of money. It's just him, great margins, right? But the problem is, like, this unlimited productized service model only works, again, with this very specific context he's operating in. So what's the context here? First, it's design work, right? That's already something very specific, because if you think about it, like, design is something, yeah, people like to have a designer on standby, in a sense, in case they, okay, we have a new blog post, now someone please create a cool design for it, all right? We're gonna design this new case study page, we need a design. And then it is very useful to have someone on standby who they can just, like, create a task for, and then they do it. And it's very cumbersome to find someone on Upwork, whatever, all the time for these kind of tasks. And having a reliable resource is very useful when it comes to design. But that doesn't really make sense. Like, let's go back to Vince. Could he offer unlimited Facebook ad management? Not really, right? That doesn't make any sense. Like, to productize that, because realistically, like, what sense would it make if people wouldn't request, okay, create a new Facebook campaign, change that. I mean, that's what they are paying him for. So it, like, the model doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, for example, for my agency, where we're running cold email campaigns, same reason. Setting up, like, unlimited campaigns is nonsense, obviously. Right, so that's the first, and the second is also, it is very much, he's 100% focused on, like, these SaaS tools. Like, this is who he's servicing. You can see it, like, in his case studies and stuff like that, where he's doing his best work, and I believe, like, both his best clients come from. And again, like, if you think about it, yeah, these are, like, they have the specific setup where they have occasional design work, but it's not, like, all the time, right? Because the model wouldn't really work if, like, all of his clients gave him requests nonstop, right? The model works because companies sign up to have someone on standby, and then every week, whatever, they maybe put in two requests, sometimes 2 weeks without one, and they pay for having someone good on standby, but don't necessarily, like, fill up his list to the brim all the time. And that is within, like, the specific market he's servicing. And I can imagine that a lot of different markets would be like, okay, we're gonna pay, like, what's his pricing? It's 5K. I believe, yeah, 5K a month. So we're gonna expect a lot, right? I wanna see design every day, and I basically would expect him to full-time work, and like, that's a lot of money. So where are the results? Like, after 48 hours here, 48 hours, fine, but I wanna see, like, a big chunk, a big work done. And that's not, like, that's the model wouldn't work if you had clients like this. So it's only because he has, like, this very specific client base, and I'm pretty sure he says no to, like, all companies that would be too high maintenance. And rightfully so, right? The model doesn't work. It's more about, like, the standby, having a designer on standby and not really maxing out unlimited work, because yeah, there's only so many clients he could service like that. Whereas if it's primarily occasional requests, he can have 20 clients, fine, right? This is why the model works, but also why it simply doesn't work outside of the, again, specific context it exists in. And so Brett is actually teaching a course on, like, he found the holy grail, right? this is amazing. It's just me. I don't have a team. I have great margins, amazing companies. Everyone's happy. Yeah, I I have a little problem with that for the exact same reason, right? It's simply not true that you can take this model and just universally apply it. It's just nonsense. I noticed, like, with high confidence, obviously, for my market, as I said, for like Growth Ninja, Facebook, like, doesn't make any sense. But also, I've seen so many people try this for all kinds of niches, like unlimited automations, unlimited dev work, whatever. It just doesn't work. Like, yeah, you might get, like, people are just learning these lessons I explained, and yeah, you might be able to sign some clients, but then they will just bombard you with these requests because, like, I'm paying you 5k a month or even 3k a month. I think you, my view is you are now a full-time developer on my team, so gotta do the work, right? And it's not really a setup where you have someone on standby. And also for automation work, a lot of the value is in coming up with ideas what can be automated and stuff like that. And it's not really like, I have an idea for an automation, please build it. That's not really how it works. And also, like, people might have some ideas for automation, but it's more like a sprint, right? Like, I wanted to automate, I have, like, these ideas, build this, and then it's done, right? It's not really this setup where people have these recurring needs. It's just a very, very different model. So, long story short, I just think it's very important to understand that most business advice is pretty useless, and like trying to hunt for the holy grail or copying someone else's model while ignoring the context it exists in is just a recipe for failure, right? It will not work for you unless you really understand why the business works, down to the nitty gritty details. And I don't claim I'm able to do this, for example, even for DesignJoy, right? But I feel very confident to say that it only works within this specific context. And I wouldn't dare to apply this unless I really understood it and really understand the dynamics of, like, how this works with having someone on standby and then really thinking about, okay, what are some other service where people really need a reliable resource but don't have constant requests, right? And that's already pretty tough. And I was recently at a meetup for one of my favorite podcasts, for the My First Million podcasts, here in my town, and someone brought up this this cool business model, which I think is another great example. It's called, I think, closers.io. Cole Gordon is the name, and he, like, this is another insanely cool model, and a few people have copied it. Like Closer Cartel is one of these. Closer Cartel is one of the copycats, I believe. And the way it works is basically you have a education side, like you sell a course, right? $1,000, you get like training, you become a closer, you learn how to sell stuff, how to close deals. And then what makes it magical is that they also have, like, the other side where they actually do recruiting, where they actually, like, they train the people, but then they help them find jobs at good companies, and they just like charge on both sides, right? Recruiting fee, education fee, like the course fee. And it is absolutely magical, because, yeah, charging on both sides, win-win for everyone involved. That's amazing, right? But then we got thinking, okay, where else could this work? And it's actually very challenging to come up with something, because you need, like, jobs that are very attractive, high paying, but also with high demand on the on the other side, right, where people are struggling to find good people, and there isn't really much if you think about it. You can't just do this model for designers or something like this, I believe, because like the payment side is not as good, or also the demand on the other side is as good. So the model breaks down very, very quickly unless you really understand it. And just one example we came up with where it actually also works is like coding boot camps. At least they were working a while ago. It's also like these people learn how to code because coding jobs are very well paid, but then they also get like the recruiting fee by sending them to like companies. The people they educate, they taught how to code. And that's another example where it actually can work across different contexts, and even though it's like you need to change something about it, but you can't just blindly like take a model like that. And also like the advice given by people who run these businesses, unless they really understand what the water is, right? And that's really it. That's what I wanted to cover today. Love to hear what you think. And until next time, bye-bye.